Morning. This week's parasha begins with the mitzvah of bikkur. The mitzvah of bikkur is given a tremendous amount of chashivus in Chazal, in the Torah. Chazal say, "Bereishis b'shul bikkurim sh'nikru reishis," like the post says, "It should be mereishis kofir ha'adomo." And there's hardly another korban which is brought with the same amount of ceremony, the amount of ceremony, pomp and ceremony that they did with the bikkurim. Derech agav, Chazal talk about that when you bring the bikkurim, you have to do it different. If you're wealthy, you're supposed to bring it in a golden basket. If you're poor, in a normal basket. If you're very poor, in a wicker basket. And yet Chazal also tell us that there was a special mitzvah to say the words of the bikkurim. And what happened was Chazal saw that there were certain people that were unable to say the words. So they instituted that everybody, in the beginning they used to do, that those who couldn't say the words, the Kohen would read it out for them. But when they saw that it was embarrassing for those who couldn't read, they instituted that every single person would have the words of the bikkurim read out for them aloud. The Sasser Rebbe from London, 40 years ago now, spoke. So he told me that he remembers the word till today. He asked the obvious question. When it came to the baskets, they never instituted that everybody should bring the same kind of basket. In fact, the wealthier you were, the more impressive the basket. And yet when it came to the reading of the sukkah of the bikkurim, they made a takada that those who can't, everybody should have to have the words read out to them. And he said, because there's nothing embarrassing about a person's financial status, but not being able to say psukim of the Torah, that is something to be embarrassed about. And it's a sharp word on the parasha, but it's a very powerful one. Person, Chavos Chaim mentioned this many times, mutter that it's better for a person to be considered a fool by every single person he meets his entire lifetime, rather than to be considered chas v'shalom for one moment a rosha in the eyes of Hashem. Unfortunately, we live in a world, going a bit off the point, but we live in a world where people's opinions matter, unfortunately, for us much too much. Or what's sort of safer, that nowadays avodah zarah is, what does Yenem think? And you sometimes see it, that people are obsessed, what does other people think? And it's a terrible tragedy. Chaim Chaim uses this, that many times a person says lashon hara just simply to get recognition, to get people to like them better, to sound more impressive, to put other people down. If a person didn't care whatsoever what other people would think, he would have much more kriyas, much more energy, much more ability to serve Hashem. And this message we see a little bit in the bikkurim, is when they came to the baskets, nobody cared. You got more money, so you bring a bigger basket. Somebody else got less money, bring a smaller basket. When it came to being able to say the psukim of the Torah, that's something to be embarrassed about. So that was something which they had to institute, something that people shouldn't get upset about. But a person's financial wealth, who cares? That's a shekel. That's a shekel. It's as a halacha, the Torah says that everybody has to give a part of the korbanos. It's not. You're darshining a tam. The Torah doesn't say specifically it's in order not to embarrass people. Forget that the posh pshat is that we wanted everybody to have a part. So therefore, if somebody would give a very lot, the other people would have less of a part. He wanted everybody to have a part. So it's not because of the embarrassment of the financial wealth. On the contrary, the Torah many times brings a rich man would bring a cow, a poor man would bring a bird. And the Torah does by korbanos show that the messages of anyway, the main point we want to mention is that bikkurim was brought with a tremendous, tremendous amount of chashivos. Chazal say that people would leave their homes and travel as a big group. They didn't go individually. And not only did you bring the bikkurim, you were obligated to bring birds on top of the bikkurim to decorate, and you had to, as I described, that as you came to the Beis HaMikdosh, you had to put the fruit in the most appealing manner. And Chazal described how they used to do that. Imagine you'd have to learn a little bit of the art of fruit decorating, which is a whole art, in order that you should be able to bring the bikkurim in the most beautiful way. And Chazal say, even if a person was a king, he wasn't allowed to have somebody else carry the basket for them. He had to carry it himself. And furthermore, even though the Rambam writes this, that even though when the Talmud Chacham comes to town, you would expect people to stop working to come to greet him, says the Rambam, no. Because if that would happen, people would lose their parnasa. But when people came to bring Bikurim, so everybody would have to stop their job to go out to greet them. And the Kohanim would come from the Beis HaMikdash to walk to them, to come to greet them. Furthermore, they would have an ox walking in front with his horns painted in gold, and a cholel makalif neim. They would have somebody that have to employ someone to play music for the entire journey from their home all the way to the Beis HaMikdash. And Kohanim Rabbis, the Medrash goes on, and Chazal, the halachas of how you brought Bikurim was very, very special. And as I mentioned, Bereishis b'shul Bikurim shniku Bereishis, the whole world was created for Bikurim. Why? What's so special about Bikurim? There's an important yesod, whether from Victor Miller, but remember the Shai Tshuva Ben Yonah says this, is like this. It's a very important yesod, I'm going to elaborate a little bit. There's a mitzvah called Ashor HaSaveda, Namosh. Mitzvah Ashor HaSaveda is quite limited in its scope. There has to be simonim, you have to find a lost item. If I'm walking down the street and I see that your car lights are on and the battery might run out, so I knock on your door and I say to you, I want to tell you that your lights are on. I might be mekayem the mitzvah of Ashor HaSaveda. Now, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, that's not the mitzvah of Ashor HaSaveda. But you kept the mitzvah, you've kept the ideal of the mitzvah. The limud of the mitzvah you have kept. And this is something which is a very, very big chilek of Torah mitzvahs. The Chazal Tfosk says, when an old person walks into the room, you're supposed to stand up. You're standing in the post office, and there's an older person behind you in the queue, and you let that person go first. Have you kept the mitzvah of Teisei V'Tokom? You've not kept the Shulchan Aruch. You've kept the limud of the mitzvah. And the limud of the mitzvah is very, very important. If you look at the Chilis Avoras, the Arichus that he has, the limud of the mitzvah, is sometimes that is what makes a person into a yid. The Shai Tshuva mentions other examples. Give you an example. Imagine you've got a meeting with your boss, and you're nervous. You're nervous, he might fire you. Says a Ben Yoyna, that whenever a matzav of tzor, fire, or fear comes up, you're not allowed to be scared. Like the Pasuk says, Kiseitz Mechom Aloivecho, when you go to warn your enemies, you shouldn't be scared of them because Hashem looks after you. The Miller once pointed this out. What do you mean? That apostle is talking about when Kaisal go to war. When was the last time any of us went out to war, especially in Melchemes Mitzvah? None of us have ever been doing that. Had there been union know from that? The answer is, that's the idea of the mitzvah. The idea, the limit of the mitzvah is that when you've got a tremendous reason to be scared, you have to remember Akshmoch is in charge and not to be scared. I mentioned one last bit. It goes on and on. This is the ikke of Yiddishkeit, is to be able to understand how Akshbochu wants you to behave. If a person doesn't give way to some of the elder person in the post office and says, well, the Shulchan Aruch didn't say so, the Shulchan Aruch said I should stand up, we're both standing, then he's missing the limud of the mitzvahs, and he's missing a huge chelik of what it means to be a yid. Let's give one more example. The Shai Tshuva writes that there's a mitzvah to constantly remember the chasodim of Hashem. And he brings this mitzvah as one of the highest mitzvahs that a person can reach. A mitzvah to remember, if today your car did not have trouble starting up, so you have a mitzvah to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you that the car worked. The fact that you were able to get up and walk this morning, it's a mitzvah to thank Hashem I was able to walk. How do we know it? You should remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the mon and the be'er and the ananiya covered. And that's his mighty, that's his mitzvah. Tells us yes. The Torah wants you to remember that's not just for Klal Yisrael in the midpoint. The Torah wants us to know that a person is supposed to live by the constant memory of the chasodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one of the ikr, he says it's me'ikre, the way of a person to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what is the limud of Bikurim? The limud of Bikurim is HaKadosh HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say thank you to Hashem for giving us the ability to enjoy the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. Now, I want to be more Nakuda with you. Imagine. Come home, and your wife, middle of Shabbos, early Shabbos afternoon or Friday night, gives you a piece of kugel. So you say to her, thank you very much. It was very nutritious. It was very tasty. I was hungry, and I made you full up. I appreciate it. I'm very grateful. Most people would feel that's a good thank you. That shows gratitude. The truth of the matter is that's only a tiny amount of gratitude. A person could thank her for going to the shop to buy the potatoes, for peeling them, for standing in the queue, for agreeing to get married all the years ago, that way she's your wife. And it might sound that's a bit extreme. What I'm supposed to thank now, and I've got a piece of potato, a piece of kugel over here, to start thanking years back. But we see from the mitzvah of the bikkur, what happens? I've got a pomegranate tree in my garden, and I've got pomegranate. And I tell you, you only have to give one pomegranate, even less than one pomegranate. But you only have to give a 60th. And you go to the Beis HaMikdash, and you have to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says, "V'disomato sheilecho kofu toivo." You have to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "I want to say thank you." So what do you thank Hashem for? Avami Oyvedavi. Thousands of years ago, there was a Rosh called Lavan, and he tried to kill Yaakov Avinu. Had he succeeded, then I would not be here to thank you for the pomegranates. So I want to say thank you for the fact that you saved Yaakov from Lavan. Vayered Mitzrayim, Rashi adds, there were other people who tried to destroy his power, and he gave us Eretz Yisrael, and he took us out to Mitzrayim, and all the things that come with it. It's an unbelievable level of gratitude. It gives us a whole new aspect. And of course you could say, well, I'm going to say thank you for the kugel, for peeling the potatoes. I'm not doing the mitzvah of bikkur. Yes, you are. You're doing the limud of the mitzvah of bikkur. And in fact, it's not such a big stretch of imagination. If you think about the fact that every time a person has a sandwich and you bench, so the first bracha is Azon Ezeinam Kulei V'Turei V'Chein V'Chesed V'Rachim, thank Hashem how kind he is that he gave us food. Then you come to the next bracha, Noyde Lecho. What are you going to thank Hashem now for? And the Torah writes, if you don't say Noyde Lecho, you're not being Yotze Bench. So what do you thank Hashem for taking us out to Mitzrayim, for giving us Eretz Yisrael, for teaching us Torah and doing Bismillah? Says the Beis Yosef, why do you have to say all of this? Well, if Hashem wanted to take us out to Mitzrayim, then we wouldn't have got Eretz Yisrael. And the Yisrael of all nourishment and all bracha comes from Eretz Yisrael. If we wouldn't have Bismillah, we wouldn't have been Zeichet Eretz Yisrael. So we're thanking, I'm just sitting down now today, going to have a slice of bread, five slices of bread, I want to eat a big meal. I have to thank Hashem for the fact that he took me out of Mitzrayim. Yes, that's part of the Hakol Satov. Had he not taken you out of Mitzrayim, you won't be able to sit down now and enjoy that piece of bread. That shows us the level of Hakol Satov that the Torah expects from a person when he's... That's the message of Bikkur, and that's why you say Avam Yoyvedavi Vayered Mitzrayim. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that could possibly to be included in that gift that he has given you. And that is why Bikkur was such an important mitzvah, because the limud of HaKadosh HaTov is the limud, the avoid of HaKadosh HaTov is one of the fundamental aspects of what it means to be Yid. We're all called Yidden. Yidden comes from the word Yehudi. Yidden's Yehudi. Yehudi means from Shevet Yehuda. Now we're not all from Shevet Yehuda. Some of us are Levim, and some of us are Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, and all the rest. So we should say Ruvaini, Shimoni, but we're not. We're called Yehudi. Why are we called Yehudi? Because Yehuda means I thank you, Hashem. Our essence is that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which we have. That is who we are as a Yid. That is where our name comes from. This is what goes on and on. Chibus HaBobos, he wrote 10 Sha'oim, 10 gates. And each gate it describes how the one follows on to the next. It's supposed to go from one to higher level. So the first one is Sha'ayichot, to believe in Hashem. What would you imagine the next one to be? Sha'avodah Selekim, to serve Hashem. He doesn't. He puts Sha'abechina first. What's Sha'abechina? It's to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the things that he has done. To spend time every day contemplating how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for all the things that he has done. That comes even before anything else. After you have a munah, the next thing is to thank. That's the musig of Yehudi. The Rabbeinu Bechai, though, he says a slightly different idea. And it's good to mention it. Rabbeinu Bechai says that Kabbat is Hashem Mahuncha, that a person is supposed to give cover and honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his wealth, from his success. A person had a tree in his garden growing a beautiful fruit. Now you've got another asset. Got another capability, use that to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take it to the Beis HaMikdash. Years ago, I was very well acquainted with somebody in Eretz Yisrael who donated a huge amount of money to Shuvu. Shuvu is a set of schools in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Pam Zichzad Konshuvuch set it up, and the idea was that it's for Russian boys who got no Shaykhs Yiddishkeit to come to Eretz Yisrael. They provide them with free schools and they teach them about Yiddishkeit. So because he gave this money, they made him like a dinner, and they took him on a tour around the school. And because I knew him well, I was invited to join. And what happened, what was the amazing thing to see is unbelievable chizuk, to see people whose parents can't read, and are learning, they were learning Eilim Metzias properly, Gemara, Rashi. And the Maisa, one of the things that they showed us, which really be chizuk, is like this, that the parents don't have to pay fees, because if the parents have to pay fees, they won't send to the school. So when you came into one of the buildings of Shul, the main building, there was a beautiful painting on the wall, a picture of Yetzias Mitzrayim, a beautiful, a huge painting, it's almost the size of this wall, the back of this room. And they said that what happened was, there was a lady who was very grateful, and she said to the school, look, I've got no panosa, I can't afford fees, but I'm a good painter. So what she did was, to the entrance of the school, as you came in, the first hallway, usually these schools are, unfortunately, by got a lot of graffiti and a lot of, they're not the beautiful schools that we would hope, it's not, money is always the issue. So what she did was she painted it all over and made a very beautiful scenery. She said, this is what I can give, this is what I'm going to do. And Be'emes, that's a very big avoider for a person to find what his way to contribute, Kavodas Hashem Marincha, to find a person's talents and to use that to Mechabod Hashem is a huge avoider, all in time of Elul. Unfortunately, many times people spend most of Elul thinking about what they've done wrong. I'm going to come to it in a minute, but in a Maisa, generally, it doesn't get a person so far. But a person would be spending more energy what he can do right. What can he do? What can he contribute to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a very big avodah. Kabbalist Hashem Menucha, Rabbeinu Bechai says, that's be'emes, the avodah of Bikurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you some new fruit, use that as well to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu you covered it. Chazal, famous Chazal, that Achad killed the voice. Why did he kill the voice? Because he wanted his vineyard. So Maisa, Chazal asked him, what did the voice do wrong? They deserve to be killed. He had a beautiful voice and he used to go every year to the Aliyah Leregel and he used to sing there. And people used to enjoy it. When they would come to the Beis HaMikdash, they would hear his beautiful voice. One day his wife said, look, if the people want to hear your voice, they should come to you. Why are you going to Yerushalayim? And he never went. And because of that, he was Chai Misa. A person's got talent, everybody has their krichas. A person should spend his time thinking about what can they do to serve Hashem better. Okay, this week's parasha we have a pasuk which the Rambam brings, and it's unbelievable pasuk. Tachas asher le'ovada to es Hashem le'ikecho b'simcho v'tov le'ivo v'roiv kur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why are you getting this teichecho? Because you did not serve Hashem b'simcho v'tov le'ivo v'roiv kur. And the Sefer HaCharedim brings an akdama to the mitzvahs, from the Avizal, unbelievable. But what does it mean, Meroiv Koil? More than anything. I mean, the person has to imagine what would be the happiest thing in his life. What's the happiest thing? Imagine a person, for example, winning the lottery. So what happens is, he has to imagine what he would feel like to win the lottery. And then he has to know that he has to serve Hashem with simcha, with a labor, Meroiv Koil, more than anything. The simcha that a person has, when he does a mitzvah, has to be greater than the simcha that you get from anything else. I was like to say this week, Imre Emes wrote many, many letters. Okay, remember Imre Emes. He's got very interesting letters about the mitzvah of serving Hashem b'simcha. And one of the letters struck me, I don't know if it struck you the same way, but it's like this. Imagine a person walking to Shachris. Okay, you wouldn't think Imre Emes would write such a thing. And a person would go up to him and offer him a million ruble. He writes the words, a million ruble, not to put on tefillin today. Would anybody take up the offer? No. Oh, many times we do our veils for much less. The answer is the Yitzhak can confuse us. But generally speaking, a person walking to shul normally, a person imagine for this morning, he's been walking on the way to shul, don't say, Shema this morning, I'll give you £1 million. Don't put on tefillin, I'll give you £1 million. Nobody would take up that offer. So he says, so today you've earned millions of pounds. Because at the end of the day, you did put on tefillin, which is worth it for you more than a million. Or he said millions of rubles. This is our word, the Meroiv Kur, to serve Hashem to Simcha Meroiv Kur. And unfortunately, it's something which a person, imagine we would talk to us about to somebody, who gets up for Shachris on time, says all the korbanos, he learns after Shachris, and he does everything right. And he does it because Hashem said so, but he has absolutely no pleasure, no joy, no Simcha from it whatsoever. We would imagine such a person to be one of the Lamas of Tzaddikim. He's doing it all right, even though he doesn't enjoy it. And the Pasuk of here says, that's no good. You have to serve Hashem with simcha. You have to develop a simcha in serving Hashem. There's a very interesting sefer called Al Techtu Bayelet. It's written by Michiel Jacobson. It's actually been translated, I think, into English. And he's got that whole perk. It's getting a bit off, but it's a very sadistic in the Kudum. He's got a whole perk about hitting. It's about chinuch, this sefer, Al Techtu Bayelet. And he says a person must not hit his children. Right? Very harshly. And then he goes to a great philosophy, why not? Ma'is Chazal, well, Marcus describes hitting your child till he dies, and even if a child is well behaved, the more that he's talking about. So he goes through that nowadays our relationship is not the same, the children's chinuch is not the same, the children's emotional stability is not the same, etc., etc. And then he says, at the end of it all, he says, forgetting all the theories and philosophies, bottom line, those who have investigated and checked it out will tell you it does not work. It means even with all the theories, whether they're right, the theories, or wrong, the theories as to why it's right or wrong, the mice say it doesn't work. Children that are hit, in the end of the day, do not grow up to be better people than children not hit. On the contrary, they're always detrimental. So if he says, forget the theories, the reality is it doesn't work. Say for Adech to Bayelen, if you want to lift up yourself, Moshe Volbo, when he saw the Sefer, he told the Mechaber, Chilakbzan, print hundreds of thousands of copies, because every single person must read the Sefer. It's a nice askoma from Shom Robert, if I would have said it by mine. The Maise says, Adech to, that's what he says. And I was thinking, afterwards I saw that in another Sefer, similar in the Kuddah. But nowadays, the reality is that those who go about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with a feeling of unhappiness and fear, it may sound good and it may sound inspiring. The reality is it doesn't work. Because what happens is the minute that Yom Kippur is over, there are many people who will admit that when Yom Kippur is over, they feel a sense of relief. And that is a huge tragedy. Because a person cannot gain from something which in the end of the day he feels resentment for. If a person doesn't feel Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a time of simcha, he'll gain nothing from it. And therefore it sounds very good, and all the theories can go there, and Ben Yisrael Salat himself says, Elo Zepachad Adin, and goes on. There's a sefer called Yishon Darkei Hashem, Mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, B'Yunis and Abba, big Mashgiach in Kol Torah and in Petach Tikva. And he writes, at the end of the day, it doesn't work. Mai say it doesn't work. I just know they're interesting. The Egle Italian, the Hakdoma, talks about this. Sochet Shav Rebbe, the Egle Italian Hakdoma. He says unbelievable words. He says like this, that a person's schar for a mitzvah is dependent on how much joy he does when he does the mitzvah. If a person does a mitzvah with unhappiness, he gets less schar than doing a mitzvah with joy. And this says even more than that. He brings it from the Zohar Kodesh, and he says like this. When a person does a mitzvah b'simcha, his Yetzer HaTov gets stronger. When a person does an aveira b'simcha, his Yetzer HaRa gets stronger. Just like a person wants to run a marathon, what he has to do is he has to walk every day a couple of miles. And then gets into it, the body gets stronger and stronger, eventually you come on the marathon. When a person does a mitzvah b'simcha, the Yetzer HaTov gets stronger. When a person does an aveira b'simcha, the Yetzer HaRa gets stronger. He says it's possible, it's possible for a person to do 100 mitzvahs in a day, and only one aveira, and at the end of the day, his Yetzer HaRa becomes stronger, not his Yetzer HaTov. Because when he did the 100 mitzvahs, he did it with, for the feeling of reluctance. And when he did the aveira, he did it with a sense of joy. And therefore, at the end of the day, he said, of course he'll be rewarded. Because at the end of the day, he did the 100 mitzvahs, like Shmuel gives schar for every mitzvah when he did it. Except whatever reason you did it, you get schar. And Avadia will get very close. At the end of the day, he did a tremendous mitzvah. But technically speaking, at the end of the day, his struggle to serve Hashem will be stronger now. Because at the end of the day, his Yetzer HaRa became stronger, his Yetzer HaTov became weaker. And therefore, his continued success is very much in doubt. Because eventually, he will lose the battle. The man gives a marshal. It's a long marshal, but it's a valuable marshal. Because Be'emes, this is an avoid. A person has to develop this simcha. There was once a very, very poor man. He had no clothes, no health system. He was ill. He couldn't afford doctor's fees. Couldn't get married. Didn't have a home. He suffered in every way. And one day, he's washing himself in the river, and he sees a little boy drowning. So what does he do? He risks his life, jumps in, saves the child. Afterwards, he finds out it's the only child of the king. The king only had one child, and he saved that child. The king is so grateful. He thinks, how can I reward this person? Eventually, he says to this, calls the poor person in, he says, look, I've got storehouses of wealth. I give you one day where you can take whatever you want, and whatever you want will be yours. So that day, the poor man comes. He works from morning till night, non-stop, doesn't stop for a break. Takes out gold paintings and diamonds and silver things. Whatever he can find of beauty, he takes it out. And he becomes the wealthiest person overnight. And he uses the money to get himself well and get himself a beautiful home. And he buys a beautiful, gets a good wife. And he has a family, and he looks after his children. He can send them to the best schools and the best yeshivas, or going to best universities, whatever it may be. And he has grandchildren. His whole life has changed from that one incident. Towards the end of his life, he calls in his family. He says, I've got one thing left from that day, after he spent most of it. Beautiful golden candelabra. I'm going to give it to the child that can tell me the happiest day of my life. What was the happiest day of my life? So one child says, I remember years ago you were in London and you're getting yourself a new suit and you went to the most beautiful, the amazing tailor. No, he says, that wasn't the happiest day. Somebody else, that you went to listen to music, another in Vienna. No, you went to see the Alps. So nothing, each child rejects them. He says, no, I'll tell you an important message. The happiest day of my life was the day that I never had any time to eat. I had no clothes on my back and I worked harder than I've ever worked before or after. It was that day that I was able to, because every moment of that day I knew that forevermore my future was going to be improved by the efforts of that day. And therefore every moment of that day I was filled with joy. Joy comes from the feeling of accomplishment, from knowing that what you're doing is making effect. We could all now be spending our time listening to the news, chatting outside, browsing and playing with our phones. But instead, we're trying to do divitur. In 100,000 billion years time, we're going to be happier because of this effort. We could be spending our time doing other things, lots of things, because we've slept in for longer. But in millions upon millions upon billions of years time, our neshama will be thanking us. And we'll be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the effort that we have done. And this is part of knowing that this is what we're doing, the opportunity to serve Hashem. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Sukkah, says if a person doesn't feel a simcha, then he deserves to be punished because he is obviously lacking, something's gone wrong with him. Why is he not feeling happy? There must be something wrong. The Slonovab writes in Birchas Avam, Meroiv Koil, interesting, different translation of the word Meroiv Koil. He says, Meroiv Koil, more than anything, more than any avoider that a person does, is the avoider to know that you have to serve Hashem b'simcha. That is where a person is supposed to spend the most of his efforts. More than anything else. B'emes, the whole of Elul, it's a nila doidi v'doidi li. What is the message of nila doidi v'doidi li? It's a feeling of closeness, a feeling of kuvot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't say, B'yuchem once said this. B'yuchem, one of the greatest mashgichim, he said that, imagine a person is very ill, overweight, needs medicine, all the rest, and somebody pays for him to go to a health spa for a month. And there he has the best doctors, they'll give him the best medication and the best exercise people. He would look at every moment in that time as an opportunity never to be missed. He says, Elul is an opportunity, it's a tremendous simcha, that the neshama is an opportunity to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the health spa for the neshama. Every moment is a tremendous joy. If a person doesn't feel simcha, unfortunately, it doesn't connect. Oineg and negea is the same letters. What you don't get pleasure from, it doesn't attach yourself to. Okay, we're limited to the time. I just want to summarize what we said. We've got a mitzvah bikurim. Mitzvah bikurim, Chazal put it at a very high level. There are two limudim for bikurim. We've got v'inu b'chai, kavdus Hashem mo'incho. A person has to look, what can he do to mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What skills, what assets, what talents does he have to serve Hashem? Furthermore, it teaches HaKol HaSatoiv. The mitzvah of HaKol HaSatoiv is me'ikri. That's why we're called Yehudi. Every time you say the word Yidden, why are we called Yidden? Because we are Hoida, we thank Hashem, that's who we are. And you've also got the Rosh Hashanah, nice word for Sasa forever, that the poor people would take poor baskets. That was not embarrassing whatsoever, because that's not important, who cares? What was important was who could say the psukim properly. That's something to be proud of. And finally, we've got this pasuk, this parsha, the teichecha, the terrible teichecha, as the pasuk says, "Tachas asher levadato es Hashem nekecha v'simcha v'tovleivu mevoiv koil." The Arizal says, "Mevoiv koil," more than anything. A person has to imagine what's the greatest joy that he has, and he has to say to himself, doing mitzvahs is a greater joy. It's a matter of a person to develop it. A person can sometimes have it in his heart, and he needs to just bring it to me'akreach elapoil. We have to remember what the Emes writes, that imagine on the way to shul, somebody would stop you. Say to you, I'll offer you £1 million not to put on the tefillin. You won't listen to him. So he says, this is an interesting thing, he says, that when you come out of shul, you should say to yourself, I've earned the money, because at the end of the day, I could have spent, I could have not. We should all be zeichet to take a sevach, if there's Hashem b'simcha, and therefore to get a chizuk v'yom nevoyim, to be great. A very good Shabbos.
Oh, man. Oh, man.